why? I said, I am sitting down anyway, but what's going on? He says, your DNA samples came back from you and your son, and you are two of the most unique human beings on planet Earth. And I'm like, do tell. Well, I'm not really good at this. No one will have to explain it to you better. But he goes, basically, your son is in no known database on planet Earth, and you're in one only. And I go, yeah, that's the one you guys took from me at Davis-Monthan. What are you talking about? And I'm like, that's what I mean with these guys. You find stuff out, but then they deny it. They'll conveniently spin it. So to sum up what Nolan told me was this. He said there are rare bloodlines in the world. And at that point, when they did Cadence and mine, they wanted his mother's to confirm whatever they were looking for. But my son had the rarest haplogroup there is. It's known out there. It's super rare. And he had no real heritage. What I mean by heritage, I probably say it wrong, is you couldn't say he was native. He was Scandinavian. There was nothing there to say, where his bloodline was. Now, my bloodline was all Native American. Yeah. And I, first of all, that was the first thing. I'm like, what the hell? How could I be Native American? And I found out, they didn't lie to me about this, that it's possible. You can basically not look like a Native American, but have the bloodline. So Nolan comes back and says that, and these are his words, and that his mother and I are very, 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 very rare bloodlines to go all the way back to Christ. And that periodically, bloodlines come together to create a new bloodline. And that the reason why I had been married before and we had miscarriages and his mother couldn't get pregnant. She tried in vitro and couldn't. But our two bloodlines are supposed to come together to form a new bloodline. So what do you do with that? So then I had my stuff looked at and, they left out an important document about me. The genome splicing or the genetic, whatever they call it, how your genes will change. As long the line, your bloodline, there'll be a change in your, where it changed. I forget the exact word for it. So Green calls me up or sends me an email down the road about a year ago and says, we want to study your mind again. And I'm like, what now? He goes, we're doing I shouldn't say government. He didn't say that. A study funded to look at how much the mind really remembers hypnosis-wise, based off of hypnosis and everything else, what you saw and what you know from there. And I politely told him, hell no. And he wanted to know why. I says, you didn't even give me all the data from the last crap you supposedly did for me. So all of them got on and tried to spin it until I point blank just said, this is the document that's missing. Okay. So now they did send me it, but it was interesting. They gave me a bunch more stuff, but they sent it all on a CD. They wouldn't send it over the internet this time. So I've got all this documentation that was done from a reputable lab in Pennsylvania, top-notch lab. It's like $10,000 per study, which I can't afford, but I have no way to verify it. I mean, a scientist looked at it and said, holy crap, this is real. This is something big. But how do you verify it? I don't have the money to verify this. I can only go off of what Green and Nolan tell me.
Did they mention the Monroe Institute in this latest thing they were setting up here?
There's a rumor. No, Nolan doesn't want to really talk to me because he doesn't like the idea that I insinuate that this is all being weaponized. So I haven't talked to Nolan in quite a while. And Green and I, we got into it really big. You know how the stuff just leaked out about his paper and all that? The paper, that the DIA paper, made a big deal about. Okay. Well, he sends me an email and says, I just want you to know that you never were directly addressed in this. He goes, oh, and by the way, all your stuff has been destroyed because of the 7-year HIPAA. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I've been destroyed. Yeah, I bet I know where that is. What file cabinet did that get put into? And you asked me directly, the first question was, will you ever get an answer? Well, how do you verify any answer you get?
You must have an idea what they're doing. You must have an idea what they're up to, because you've dealt with like Nolan, and Nolan's an experiencer as well, like you. I mean, he's
yeah, he admitted it finally, but you know, because these guys, they were disingenuous from the beginning. When they contacted me, they said nothing would ever come out. So then Green goes on Above Top Secret and lays out the whole scenario about me. Okay. Then they turn around and they weren't going to talk about the DNA stuff, but then they talk about it in Andy Jacobson's book, you know. So they go into the stuff. And now Nolan's running around talking about all this stuff now. I mean, so you get told one thing and then it starts coming out. Well, unfortunately, I'm tied to these guys because Green made sure I was, because he admitted he was working with me in the first place. And so now I'm standing there holding, you know, what is it? What are they doing? Well, you want my honest opinion? They're trying to weaponize this, which Nolan doesn't like when I say it. And they're working on the mind. Because I really believe they're looking at what is it? I just said it before. I'm still recovering from long-term COVID. Consciousness. What did I say? There's a whole level of the computing. What's the computing they're working on?
AI.
Right now?
AI.
No. It's a computing. It's the latest computing that they've got.
Quantum
consciousness and quantum. And I asked them directly if that's what they were doing, and I didn't get a response. Think about the ultimate weapon, Grant. If you can somehow corral consciousness,
yeah,
and use it in weapon systems,
yeah,
that would be the ultimate. And that's a lot of what this study, in my opinion, and I'm sure they would try to take me on about it because they would spin it. But that's one of the things I think they're looking at, and how to make the human mind be capable of doing as much as it can, you know, way beyond the computing power it does. They're trying to stimulate the mind. You know how they say the mind's only 10% used? They're trying to figure out how to use the mind more efficiently and use consciousness more efficiently.
About the weapons, because that would make total sense. That's what I said. That's why they went to Skinwalker Ranch. They didn't go to Skinwalker Ranch to see UFOs or anything. They wanted to know, how do you put four bulls inside a trailer? How do you make something disappear and reappear? And it's all about weapons. It's all about, like, my God, if we could do that. I mean,
that's what one of the things that you asked me about, me being injured and Adrian being injured. Whatever that was out there, we were there. I went in it. Adrian said I went in it and disappeared. So in essence, if what he saw and remembered is true, and I'm not calling him a liar, I'm just saying just what the mind thinks it saw and what's going on, and you know, and if was something planted or whatever. Basically, it kind of backs it up based on what they wanted to know from me and what they were looking at, is I like phased out and phased back in and survived.
Yeah.
So what effects did it have on the body and how did I survive it?
Yeah, it still appears to me that they have a lot more information than, as you pointed out, than they're letting on. I mean, I remember I sent you the tape with Kit Green and K. Randall May, where Kit is basically listening to her and going, hang on, let me write that down. And it's like, portals and interdimensional stuff. And he's just writing it down like she's just telling this story. And it's like, my God, like they must have way ahead of where we think they are. So again, what kind of technologies do you think that we have developed from this kind of stuff?
You know that, and this is another interesting thing that doesn't add up to me. Okay, they claim that stuff crashed at Roswell, right?
Yeah.
And the government retrieved it, right? Now, allegedly, and I shouldn't say allegedly, this is factual because I talked to Putoff directly about it, because when I found out about this, Linda Moulton Howe got some material from the Roswell area.
Yeah.
That the Army bought some of it. And they're working on this material with tanks and being able to get it to do certain things. Like, this is where the legend comes in, where the tanks can cloak, they can disappear, but they can actually have a shell go through it. Now, the first part's true, where they're going with it, but supposedly one of the problems they're having is the computing problem is it's supposed to go A to B, but it ends up at D. So it's not going where it's supposed to. And supposedly a human can't be in it. They can't withstand it. So that's why I'm saying I think they're starting to realize more and more that the body can't sustain whatever this is and whatever they're learning. So they're going to have to control it through computers and AI. But can they trust AI not to? Because that was one of the things that show I was talking about. The AI got out of control. It started doing stuff that, because it was programmed to learn, it started doing things that the military didn't want it to do. And they were using it against our own technology because we have the best technology. The British and the Americans have the best radar and that type of technology. So when people say they wouldn't test it on us, why wouldn't they? If our technology is better than everything else, they're going to have to get it to learn how to adapt to that technology, never mind foreign adversaries, but our technology is ahead of it. So they're going to have to do that, you know? And it's interesting that both encounters with the Navy were done when they were unarmed. Think about that. This stuff went on when they were unarmed. They weren't armed. And the other thing that we didn't touch on, in 1960, I was told this, and it's true, the Navy completely mapped the entire Earth for all the hotspots in EM.
Hotspots of what?
EM, the whole frequency thing. They went around and started that in 1960.
Wow.
So they've been working on this stuff for a while. And again, I can't tell you what they know where it's from or all that other stuff, but I do believe whatever they're doing with, they're learning how to utilize it.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not Eisenhower met with somebody in some bunker or, you know, I'm just saying all that stuff, I don't know. What I do know is, and I talked to Dr. Mitchell before he died, and he told me that that's what we encountered in Rendlesham, and a lot of what's going on is UAP involvement. He told me that. He said that. That's what he told me. So they're definitely trying to utilize it, and that would make it SAP across the board. And these congressmen and senators, they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
I don't know who gets it, Grant. You've done more study on that than me. I don't really know who makes the decision. But you know as well as I do, the president doesn't regularly work with these people. He simply gets a briefing every morning. So he's not talking, you know, to, you know, all this other stuff. So I really don't know who's pushing the buttons behind the scenes. My guess would be partly defense contractors too, because they're the ones developing it. And that's another thing I want to bring up that I've always found interesting. You know how, what are we missing? 20 trillion now? I think they said, yeah. Well, if you do the budgets for the last 25 years, we didn't even get a lot of 20 trillion. So if you really think about it, what they're doing is just funding the defense. That's why they can't get audited, and that's why they always cover black projects. That kind of funding does not affect the economy. So they can print as much money as they want. These companies get the money, and these fat cats get it, but they keep the ball rolling. Because how can you explain that besides they can't account for 20 trillion when the budget doesn't even equal 20 trillion?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but these are all questions that could it end up getting you hurt? Maybe, but most people don't care.
Yeah, that's right. Most people are busy making a living and trying to, you know, pay their taxes.
Well, no, but they get lied to all the time. What do you believe anymore? I don't, you know, this whole inflation was planned. I mean, I'm not trying to get off UFOs, but there's some economists now have said they planned it. They had to deflate the dollar to reduce the debt. And they laid it out perfectly. And they've been trying to do this for the last 10 years. So there's no explanation for everything going on, but most people don't have the time to look. And there's no reputable news agency left that'll even question it. The last decent report that was ever done was by 60 Minutes on the oil when it went way through the roof under Bush. But they found out 2 years prior to it going through the roof, consumption had already stopped. But the excuse was it was consumption. And there hasn't been a decent story since on anything. And look at UFOs. Name me one group out there that's out there that's reputable that the country would listen to right now. Who do you turn to?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, hey,
and then you get all these crazy stories coming out.
Well, see, that's let's kick it towards the crazy story side a little bit. I'm just teasing, but you know, just from speaking with other experiencers, like these things don't stop with your encounter. You know, Peniston has been very limited about what has happened with him since the forest. you know, and you admitted to wearing the real deal on the helmet, and we know those trigger something, but is there any other experience?
Well, I can tell you two things that's happened. I can tell you two things that happened to me that can't be explained. I lived in Sedona for a couple of years, and I went out one night with somebody that had, well, I want to be careful what I say. They're studying that area. There's government people or contract people that used to work for the government are up there looking at the area. And I went out there over Bradshaw Ranch one night, and they were talking about the CE5 or whatever. That's a bunch of crap. Okay. And what I mean is that there's people that exploit it because they claim you can meditate and you can draw something in, right? Well, that's so vague. And I feel sorry for the people that spent thousands of dollars, but this is what happened. We went out there, we were out there a little bit, and this person said, well, they were in a remote viewing program and stuff, that we normally do a certain type of meditation before stuff starts happening. Mm-hmm. And right about when they said that, all of a sudden the temperature dropped 10 degrees. They had a meter, an EM meter, and the EM meter pegged. And the next thing you know, for the next hour, I had one of the craziest shows I've ever seen go on, including stuff over the top of us and everything else. So that happened up there. And when they were done, they stated, yeah, the government will be calling you pretty soon. and I just kind of looked at him like, oh, isn't that joyful? But then another thing happened that I've talked about before a little bit, but there was some interest from the Hopis. And cutting to the chase was I went up to some of their sacred dances, and one of them was where no white people were allowed. And I was taken up there. And I'll never forget it, because you would think a white person just showing up on the top of their sacred mesa would draw attention. No one even acted, was like a big deal I was there. So I got to see one dance, and I was being escorted back, and a blue kachina dancer appeared and handed me and the guy that was escorting me a root. Now, I was instructed to plant a root in my backyard when I got back home. So I did. And right after I planted it, an hour later, all kinds of weird things happened in the house, with some blue orb showed up and a red orb showed up. And that drove the blue orbs drove the red orb away. So that happened. So then that happened to my son. It wasn't to me. And then they brought my son up there for his own little adventure, which I won't go into much, other than that at the end of their last dance, I don't know if have you ever seen a Hopi dance or heard anything about them? No. They give out presents and the treats. Okay. Then the last dance, everything was given to him.
Wow.
They came over to him. He was sitting with the elder, and he was given all the stuff. So, yeah, there's been some strange things that happened, including green, including put off, mm-hmm. This stuff that I can't explain. But here's the problem. It happened, but what does it mean?
Well, what does it mean to you?
I don't know.
You never do that.
I can speculate. I can speculate, but I can't prove it.
Right. Well, Grant and I dabble in this realm of, you know, the forefront and speculation and, you know, this personal meaning, you know, having this broader meaning, you know, throughout it all. I think that's where Grant was kind of going. Like, you know, through all the anthology, when you sit back, you know, what does this mean to you? Like this personal quest or this interaction with the phenomenon or the effects from it? Like,
well, if you just go by what's been presented, they believe certain people, and they've never really clarified this unless they have, and I've stopped paying attention to a lot of it, right. Was they were, the last I was told was they weren't totally sure if the effects happened to you after the encounter or were already there, and that's what drew you into the phenomenon. Now, that doesn't mean other people can't have an encounter. It's just the way the encounter happens. So I don't know for sure if they've clarified if, other than just the bloodline stuff where we're supposedly different than,
yeah,
they didn't say we were aliens, which that's what really gives me the heebie-jeebies. oh, well, there's an alien bloodline out there. Oh, my God. I mean, I just shake my head because there's no proof that there is. And can you imagine if that ever came out of the government, that there are people out there that are different, just the way we treat each other? And so is there, why they were definitely studying military involvement. Now, the question is, it makes sense, because here's the reason why, Grant, you asked, they can account for those encounters. Do you understand what I mean?
They can get the medical records, right?
Yeah, they have the medical records and they know it took place. Not to say that people that had their own encounters didn't, but that's a lot more hearsay than it is military guys. This event happened. We know it happened. We have their medical records and everything else. So they're more viable to study. And not only that, but there are more close encounters usually that can be verified military people had. Now, the interesting thing about Green, and he's all over the map, is he'll say every person he studied, he can say can trace back our own technology. But he doesn't really say where that technology came from initially. How did we develop this technology? But then he did leave it open, and I saw something the other day where he said him and Nolan said that they both agree there's more to this than it can be explained. So again, where do you go on? Here's the leading people that are getting funded through the government, and they're working with the government and Congress. And anytime you get close to a serious question, they clam up with national security. Yet they don't agree with it being national security, but they clam up with it being national security.
Yeah,
well, how do you ever get straight answers?
Yeah, but they're speculating as well, correct? I mean, they're sort of guessing at the bloodline and then trying to get, you know, some more blood into, you know, see if their speculation is right. I think everybody's sort of speculating, which leads to the question, what do you think the UAP thing is all about? What are the UAPs and what are they doing? We can we've talked about the government maybe doing. And
well, if you go and look at the data, whatever it is intelligent, is energy-based, but it appears to be here. And I think Bigelow, wasn't he the one that said that you'll be surprised they're here and living among us?
Yeah.
But he didn't really clarify what he meant by they.
Well, Lou even alludes to that. It's like, what are we going to do when we find out this phenomenon isn't ET, it's here, has been here, it's a part of this, you know, part of our...
Right. Well, I mean, we argue over how we were created, right?
Exactly. Well, and okay, so let me ask this question this way. So you go through all these tests, you don't get any real answers, but so they tell you about the special bloodline thing.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man. Because
yeah, but I can't verify it. You understand? Heavy,
the ramifications of that, what that could mean alone, are they have a Jesus bloodline.
No, he said it dates back to the Christ bloodline.
And that's what
he
I
didn't
mean.
Say it was Jesus' bloodline. Times.
So, I mean, that in and of itself is heavy duty. I mean, so just knowing that there's a human record out there like that, and you're attached to it. And I know we're saying Jesus time, so I don't mean it this way, but you know, to give you a personal like Messiah complex or something, you know, that's heavy. That's something, like you said, this is a special something about you. So how do you wrestle that in this anthology, you know, and not come out of it with a Messiah complex? Like,
well, because I can't verify it, number one. But here's what I'll say to you. I still can't get people to believe I got my settlement based on the fact I was injured at Rendles from Forest. I have presented at conferences where I've shown the documents. I posted my last MUFON one where I showed the documents showing that A, that I was injured in the line of duty. My whole case was based off of Rendlesham and where it happened. And Billy Cox verified that right after we made the announcement, and they still don't believe it. Salas will tell me I'm full of crap still. And I just saw him last year. I have to authenticate it. What do you mean, you old man? You were sitting down in a bunker underground. You never even saw anything. I'm just sorry. That's how I get ticked off. Okay. The government admitted that I was injured in the line of duty at Rendlesham Forest. Okay. Now, they didn't say what injured me. They just said I was. Now, the documents that were presented showed that including Condyne was accepted as evidence. Okay. Yeah. So you can't get the government. And then they give Billy Cox this answer. Well, you know, we don't give out settlements unless it's injured in the line of duty in a particular event, but we can't verify anything else based off of HIPAA rules and medical reasons to say exactly what went on. So that's why there's interest in me from Two Stars or not, whatever, Lose Group now. I actually did, and I'm one of the few publicly. There's other people behind the scenes that, and Green even said that. He said that Bentwaters should never have gotten out, but it did. And that because now that I won my case, which they were pushing for, hopefully I would, that then there's some more ammunition to go to Congress with to say, well, yeah, it's true, and they're hiding it. You know, they're hiding this stuff, and they didn't even take care of me at first. It happened really fast for VA stuff, but it took a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes with a lot of agencies for me to get my settlement that the government admitted I was injured, but they're not telling you what it was, and they're not releasing my medical records.
Yeah. And they took your tissue sample.
Well, that happened down with the VA. Yeah. DOD doctor took it. Yeah. That was a weird thing in itself. He showed up right when I went down there, and he shadowed me the whole way. He handled everything, all my stuff, everything that went on. Normally nurses, after you've had your surgery, would take the things out. Every single thing about me was bagged and tagged by him.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah.
You mentioned cells. Let me go back to this experiencer thing again, your sort of role and speculation, but I mean, it always appears to me that you get Salas. He's an experiencer. Then you get Jacobs writes the nuke books, and then suddenly he's an experiencer. And then you start going like, something's going on here. Like it goes beyond Rendlesham, this idea that they're looking at you as this sort of a person that's different than everybody else, that you're sort of the link, that you watch the experiencers. And I think it was Pandolfi. I went to Dan Smith. I said, did Pandolfi actually say this? He said, lights in the sky do not produce any usable information. Because we cannot control the phenomena, we watch the people that are affected by the phenomena. And that seems to be what's going on here, is you get Nolan's an experiencer, Semivan's an experiencer, you're an experiencer, Salas is an experiencer, Jacobs is an experiencer. And you go down the list of people, and you see this connection, which makes me, you know, go back to this thing of how is, what's your connection? Is your son, is he interested in this? Does he realize what's going on here?
My son's an interesting character. You know, he's followed it some. You know, he was blown away by what happened up there in Hopi. He knows what's going on. He doesn't say much, you know. He doesn't say much. That night in his room was mind-blowing, the interaction that went on. But I think you guys are trying to pry out of me, do I think I'm special? I don't know what's going on. I can't give you a straight up answer. Was I a normal person until after the event happened? If what they're telling us is true, you know, did what I encountered change me? Did I disappear and go somewhere else and have everything change? Did I come back, or they attracted to me because, you know, of something different about us? I mean, you can't even get geneticists other than that one guy that I had look at my stuff that said there was an important document missing. He said, if this is true, this is a whole different animal that, you know, going down the road and all that. Think about all the studies. How open are they about the Christ bloodline? All the artifacts and everything else. There's always stuff that surfaces that gets refuted or gets spun about, you know, different things like Pandora's box and everything else. So none of this stuff is ever, you can't nail it down. And that's just like with me. Do I have special powers? I don't know. Have I been told to see if I do, as far as was I given instructions on how to find out if I do? Yeah. Have I done that? No.
Yeah. I'm not really saying that you think you're special, but that it appears that they think that you have something. It's almost like the rumors, like John Alexander was that, you know, he was there and Rendlesham, the briefing thing, that all these guys knew right from the word go that this was a live thing and they've got to shut this down and screw it up or whatever. It's almost like they seem to know that the people are a big part of this thing. Not that they're special, but you've got to interact with the people rather than what people are doing. You know, lights in the sky, it doesn't get you anywhere. But when you start looking at you and all these other people, then you realize that they're paying attention. They're paying attention to Chris Bledsoe. They're watching all the experiencer things. in that you are part of this mystery. You are part of why this the whole thing is going on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny that people have had some kind of interaction with something, okay? And I call it a phenomenon, or UAP is the new, you know, terminology. I don't know if you knew this, but it's interesting that UAP doesn't get as many hits on the internet as UFO still does. UFO still is the big draw, so a lot of people are writing UFO, and then they go into UAP afterwards.
Let me ask you a question about that, because UAP was the British term, right?
That was used way back by Jenny Randles and that group. Yes,
okay, they UAP. Did. And then Podesta, there was a rumor that Podesta had a meeting with Hillary Clinton and Nick Pope, and that when you remember Hillary Clinton came out 2015, and then they didn't ask her the question you brought up. She's the first one that said, oh, there's a new nomenclature. They're now called UAPs rather than UFOs. And this is this whole story is, did they adopt this from the British in order to mess this thing up? And was this, oh, I think it was planned, this whole thing of changing the name to UAPs rather than UFOs. And it was this idea that there was this rumor that Podesta had a meeting and Nick Pope was there and Leslie Kane and all these people, and that's where they adopted this idea that they were going to bring this UAP thing out.
I mean, it could be because Condyne supported it. Do you understand? It was in 2006 when the report was released. The interesting thing is Green said this in Mirage Man. He said that initially all these stories and movies and books have everybody freaking out. And then when the real truth starts coming out, people say, well, that's not so bad. So is it possible that they've decided, you know, to change it a little bit, to calm people down? It could be. Another thing that Lou keeps making a big deal about, how there's more and more sightings going on. Well, here's the interesting thing. We have satellites that are tracking this. Lou came out and said it. I can say it now because he said it, but I got told about this. But so they have a better idea of what's going on and where it's coming from. But the interesting thing is that when you use the word UAP, it does take away from the alien eating you and all that. But how much more have they told us about what a UAP is?
No.
They haven't told us anything.
Christopher.
That was like in 1952, they changed the term from flying saucer to UFO. That was Ruppelt came up with the UFO term, and it was to divert people away from the impression of their flying saucers, flying discs, which sort of implies what's going on, and make it sort of this nebulous thing that you can really talk about without getting into any detail.
No, I understand. And not only that, but again, then now you're chasing down UAP documents instead of UFO or flying saucers. But also you put those all three together into a big toxic soup. Where do you start from? That's what Warrell and I did with the book. We started looking at, based off of Bentwaters and what they were working on, where how this could lead to weapons and everything else. And that's why the book was called Weaponization of a UAP. And I mean, the British government, and in there was their response. They said they can't talk about what it is, period, to include having work with inside the government, you know, the industrial complex. So this is all classified, and to include that our adversaries could learn about what they were working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all I'm getting at is that there's a clear definition that they want to weaponize this.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. And then the next question is how disingenuous or how truthful are all these people being? And I can't tell you for sure. I can tell you, I walk away after talking with most of them with a headache. I do not. I mean, Green told me that everything he worked on was not classified. Then he did that article in the newspaper and he said he can't talk about the classified stuff he did. Well, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. It's so frustrating, you know? And do I wonder if I have some kind of ability? Yeah. May I start looking at it a little closer now that after things calm down? Maybe. But again, I can't give you a definitive answer, Grant, what this is all about or where this is going, other than there's clearly funding being given to these guys and they're studying interactions people have had, and that they're looking at it from definitely a weapons possibility.
What's Kit Green's role? Is he like one of the key guys that would sort of know how the pieces are put together? He's been in the CIA since 1969. He worked on the remote viewing, all this kind of stuff. He's been in the spook world of UFOs and paranormal. we sort of describe what you think. Is he the key guy? Is he a key guy that knows how all the pieces are put together? Because when I listen to him, everything he says, I don't know if I believe him or not, but I listen very carefully every time he talks.
Well, he was on the weird desk and he was looking. His job, his big job when he was in, was to analyze the Russian threat.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that the OSI agent said was they came in to analyze. One of the things he said about Reynoldson was interesting was they were detecting an anomaly every time the phenomenon showed itself. And that's why the NSA came in and they put equipment out there to try to understand what the anomaly was. But the interesting thing was he was clearly involved in technology and what the other side had for sure. And obviously what we had. And when he left, he's gone into, if you follow his background and Putoff's background, they've always been around technology. So, you know, I mean, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Andy Marshall?
No, no.
He was called Yoda. And he ran, he helped bring the Russians down. He trained all of the secretaries, defense secretaries, all the way up through Gates and everything else. And his think tank was the number one technology think tank in the world. And he ran, and Chuck DeCaro went to work for him after he looked at Reynoldson. So there's another coincidence. But the interesting thing is that these, they all are around exotic technology. And the biggest question is when we develop this new technology, and Lou says you're seeing more and more of it, is it us or is it them or is it both?
Yeah.
And you can't get an answer.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because if you know, I wrote the book on Dr. Eric Walker back in 1990, and he sort of pointed out correctly, he said, why should we change the rules? And he was the second in command of weapon research in the Pentagon at the time. He said, right. Why should we, and he was chairman of the board of the Institute of Defense Analysis, the top military think tank. He said, why should we change the rules to satisfy your curiosity? Who cares if John Burroughs and Grant Cameron are curious? Why should we change the rules? It's all about weapons. It's all about military. It's in national insecurity and all this kind of stuff. And he basically saying, why should we change the rules? And because that's true, that a lot of people, it's just curiosity. They want to know what's going on. It's not that they can really change anything or do anything. They're just curious.
No, and I agree. And for me, first of all, it was life and death after I got sick. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out, get the people that were involved, friends from together, to see what we missed and what was going on and what was true and what was not. That never happened. Then I got sick, and then the full court press went on that. And to be honest with you, I mean, I can't argue with the guy totally, other than, I mean, basically, doesn't that sound like God? That they're actually taking the place of God, that they feel they're above everybody else to make decisions on what's going to affect humanity. And that's probably part of our problem, that I understand different countries are at each other's throats for, you know, economically, technology-wise, weapons, everything else, which is sad in itself. But ultimately, whatever goes on, it's not an individual country's problem. It's our whole world. And is it right that these people have that much control? I can't answer that.
That was what Eisenhower said. Beware the military. In fact, what he said was beware the military-industrial congressional complex. He took congressional out because they didn't want to offend the Congress and the last thing. But it was this idea, when you get the circle, that the congressmen are in the loop and the military people are in the loop and the contractors are in the loop. How do you stop the loop? The money's flowing around, and how do you break the loop? I mean, everybody's got their hand in the pot.
Well, you can't, because that's the way the system's set up. I mean, I can't speak for Canada, Britain, or everything else, but in our place, there's only a few people probably in Congress, and those are committee heads. You know, Mike McCain was before he died. They're in charge of the most important committees with national security, weapons and all that, and they get these briefs. But again, here's the $20 question. Are they being told the truth all the time?
Yeah.
I haven't been told the truth. They can get offended by me. But I know damn well they're holding stuff back on me, number one. And do I have a right? I don't know. I can't answer that. But I could tell you this. They're interested in me, but I'm not allowed to be interested in them.
That's it.
Okay, I'm not allowed to ask any questions. I just need to sit down, shut up, and color. And when they need me, they break the glass and they want me to go do something for them. But I'm not allowed to get any answers or understand anything at all what's going on. And then even if they tell me something, I have no way of verifying it, because how do I don't have the money to go out and retest everything. And then even then, these labs are probably controlled by them anyway.
What, I got one last question, and I'll let Nicole, if she wants to ask a question. Have you been contacted by any of the other witnesses when they realized that they were part of the study and you're part of the study? Have people, you don't have to mention who they are, but have you gotten contacts from some of the other people who are involved in this sort of investigation?
No, nobody, nobody that was in the blind, they called it a blind study, whatever, you know, they attached a number to it, not a person's name, but obviously they could trace the number back. The only thing that I know is that it was mentioned once that all the people that were up there at Skinwalker, the special forces were studied, but I've never spoken to them. And that doesn't mean I won't or will, but you know, again, this whole thing is just a big toxic mess, in my opinion. And I gave them my DNA, and I assume they wanted it to verify something, but they already had it. So what? Why did I need to, you know? And is there something for me in the future? Could be. I don't know. And I'll be honest with you, Grant, I don't know what I want to do anymore. I'm kind of tired of all this.
Yeah. But you got to play the big game. Like you want your son to be a big football player. I mean, he played in the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the biggest story of all times. And you got to play, like, not a major role, but you got to play in the game. I mean, most people don't even know what the hell's going on. They haven't got
But at least in you playing football, you get told the objective and the play and how to execute it. I just know something happened to me, and now all these people want to know something. That again, they're trying to learn from me, but I'm not allowed to ask any questions or learn anything. And if I make an assumption or an accusation, then I get shunned like Nolan. Oh, you know what? Oh, you're making me mad. I'm going to leave the whole program. Well, Gary, are you that naive to think that if the government's funding your project, that they're not doing it for their own reasons too? That they just, you know, what's going on? So, you know, it's just like, you know what? That's what I'm saying. I'm getting to the point now where I just want to tell them all to go to hell. And if I do have some powers, don't mess with me, Jack, because, you know, you ain't coming around me anymore. And I'm saying that lightheartedly. You know what I mean? But this is like, to me, this is sad. And all this speculation and all these leaks and rumors and stuff doesn't help. It doesn't do much good. So
no, that's where I spin into the part of our community that has statistics on members of our community that they've helped each other gather. And I'm thinking, like Grant just said, have these other people from the study, you know, found you, or have you guys talked? But you said you don't really know where to go or what to do anymore. You're giving up. Do you ever think about pursuing, like Preston Dennett's statistic is there's 1 in 40 of us, you know, at any, you know, in a group or statistically throughout our population. So do you see yourself in the future kind of maybe trying to pursue other people like you and maybe just finding answers on that level, since you're not going to get any from.
Well, can I ask you a question? Sure. Do you think they know any more than I do? I'm not trying to be arrogant,
but it's like,
and we're not getting told the truth. Think like about this. I'm supposed to be an experiencer that's important to the government, allegedly, but I can't get any answers.
Right. Well, I mean, even just concerning these abilities or something that might be going on, you know.
You know what? That thing is scary. The ability part in the bloodline is scary because, again, we're fighting right now. There's war going on in Ukraine. These fights go on all the time. And that's what supposedly human beings on planet Earth. Can you imagine? Like, think about, and you've watched these TV shows, right? Do you remember Cyber Command, where the guy had a chip in his brain and he could control everything? And do you remember the one show they had out for a little bit where there were people that were special? They called them special or different. They could do different things. And all they were doing was being hunted down.
That's always the anthology.
Here's the interesting thing. When I said about Roswell, if they really recovered stuff, why did they want to buy Linda's stuff and work on it? And if we're something about us, is there's something about us that way, why are we still walking around? Right. You know, why haven't all of us that are being studied and stuff, why haven't we been taken somewhere? You know, I don't want to be taken. So I'm not suggesting it to anybody who's listening. I'm just saying we're still all here. So what exactly is the truth? What is really going on? I have less answers today, even though I've been around these people more and I have some ideas and it's in the book somewhat. But what is really going on? What ultimately, Grant, the biggest question is, what is their agenda?
Yeah.
What do they got planned for us?
Yeah. And how do you stop them if you finally decide that they have everything they need? It's like if they learn to hack reality, if they learn how the universe works, they can hack reality and change all the laws of the, you know, use the laws of the universe. So how do you stop them?
Good question. It'd have to be somebody on the inside that felt that it wasn't right and could supersede it. Now, that is an interesting point. Yeah. What, we got about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
A lot of people that have had experiences keep saying that whatever it is from the future coming back to try to alter what happened.
Yeah.
And that may be the way it stops, if you believe that. I mean, is there something that happens or has happened that, you know, that the future figures a way to come back to alter that, to keep it from happening and change reality? I mean, to me, if it's possible, that would be probably one of the only ways you could stop it.
Weinstein called this scenario a time loop and temporal hacking. And he said, if you put it in those terms, that is the scariest reality that we might have to face in this scenario.
Well, to bring up something that happened that I know they're interested in about me was my hypnosis in 88. There were two things that stood out. Number one, I could talk to them real time. And number two, they told me that at some point in the future, they'd be back for me. Those are two things that came out. So that clearly got their interest, this group got their interest in why could I communicate? And that didn't come from them. That actually came from the Army, where it was studied by the Army. I got sucked into that one before Green and those guys showed up, where they actually analyzed my hypnosis, and they had me show up someplace and they gave me a briefing on it. And here's the problem again, Grant, you know how I get on you, right?
Yeah.
People tell you bits and pieces about the truth. Okay. And the real truth is that I can't verify the truth. Okay. Why did these Army guys show up out of Fort Meade and meet with me and sit down and go over everything and lay this all out? Okay. Why was Bob Emmenegger involved in my initial hypnosis? Why did all these people show interest? Why did Putoff know about my initial hypnosis and was involved in it in 88? And so was the intelligence agencies, which I was briefed on. I was told they were, and they were interested in my interaction and stuff. But I can't tell you, this is what's happened, and I'm not lying about it, but what does it mean? I don't know, number one. And that's the hard part. And then you get these little leaks, and it's not the truth. And it hurts not only me, it hurts Rendlesham, and it hurts the whole thing. When the real truth needs to be put together. And that's why we tried to put together a timeline about the incident itself in the book.
Well, that's why I'm glad you're out there trying to sort this thing out and get some sort of truth out there, as little as you can do. You mentioned the hypnosis. You've never released the whole hypnosis tape.
Oh, that's not coming out, man.
Okay. Woo. Okay. Now, one thing about that.
You think the binary was controversial? Oh, yeah. The rest of this stuff would,
But that would make sense. If you can talk directly to them, I can see why they'd be interested. And let me confirm this, that this is what Emmenegger told me. You can confirm this, that when they were doing UFO cover-up live in 1975, Dick Betsky, who was a CIA guy who was on the set the entire time they filmed, and that he said that when they were going to do the regression with you, that he went to Sandler and said, we need somebody to do regression. He said, hang on. And he phoned CIA, and the two guys that were involved were CIA people, psychologists.
Well, here's the deal. Okay. I can tell you this much. UFO cover-up live contacted me, and it wouldn't have been in 75. It would have been in 1988. They brought me to LA. I met with the producer. The executive producer was Kurt Brubaker, which that right then and there, when I met him, and he goes back to John Lear and Lear Jets, he worked for GM, and then he had his own technology division company in the East, on the West Coast. He was looking at this completely different than everybody else at that very moment about technology and what affected us and how it could be utilized. They brought me in. They took me out. I met with the producer. He was trying to record me secretly. I caught him. And then after the meeting, Brubaker took me back to his house in Beverly Hills and said, the whole Bentwaters thing is dead. He goes, we're not going to put you on UFO Cover-Up Live now, but we want to do hypnosis on you. Wow. So I agreed to that, and the hypnosis was done. And Emmenegger was in the middle of it all, yes. And it got circulated around to all the intelligence agencies, to include later on this Army guy, or at least that's what he said he was. I don't know who for sure. I knew he was military or, you know, government, but I don't know. They can make up a fake ID. But he actually briefed me on some of it, yes.
Yeah. And I almost had the regression tape until you stopped it when Brubaker's daughter contacted me.
She had a copy of it?
What's that? No, she didn't send anything. You blocked it. You went to Brubaker, and then he gave her shit. He said, what are you doing? And then she stopped talking to me.
Yeah, which, I did. I don't want that.
I almost had the tape.
Do you understand how much grief this has caused overall for a lot of people in Rendlesham? I mean, there are people out there that are legitimately still that were injured out there that are sick from this that can't get care. Yeah. But Stenz and I got it because it was highly documented that we were there, we were involved. They couldn't deny it. Hall confirmed it. He wrote a letter to the DOD about what happened that we weren't allowed to see. Williams, when I met with him, was very upset that the VA wasn't taking care of me, and he gave classified documents to McCain that had his daughter, who worked up on the Hill, carry him to DC and gave him to McCain himself personally. So Bastenza and I got taken care of. I can't tell you what Peniston did or didn't get, because one time he said he is on disability for it, then he denies it. But Bastenza and I did, but we weren't bought off. I'm not out. I think you know me now. I'm telling you what I know. I didn't get bought off. Okay, I'm not lying. I don't have all the answers. And to be honest, would you expect me to have them? Why would I get them over anybody else?
But you've always been very honest and just upfront that you've said things that you don't really give a shit what anybody says. You're going to tell the truth. You're going to say what you think.
I'm going to tell you what I remembered and what happened to me. Yes. Exactly. And when I do it, I can back it up. That book, every single thing we put in there, we can verify it. We've got documents and everything else. Every single interaction I've had with Green and put off, most of them anyway, that I talk about, I've got documentation to back it up, to include all my DNA study and everything else. But here's the problem. How do you verify it? That was one of the biggest reasons why I didn't want to deal with them in the first place, because they promised they'd keep it confidential and they didn't. And then when whatever they say, if it strikes a nerve somewhere and it causes a problem, how do you prove or disprove what they're telling you is true? Where is the verification to it all? Yeah.
They're holding all the cards. I agree. But yes. I'm glad you've exposed it with your, as much as you can with the book. I've always appreciated the fact that you're upfront and you've been very open and you've exposed a lot of stuff that never would have come out.
Right. Well, and who knows what's next? Because every time I think it's safe to come out of the water, the next email pops in or phone call. So I don't know, but it's not, I trade places with you, Grant, today. You could take my place. People say they want to know and they want to get involved. Well, okay. No problem. Yeah. I've said that all along. I'd be happy to trade places with you.
Well, thank you, John, for doing the interview. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we can talk again. And, I've always enjoyed when you were doing with Linda, you were sort of a balance to Linda and you were, let me ask the real questions now.
Well, listen, I don't fault anybody for their work, and she's been in it for a long time. Yeah. I just have a different perspective on how I view things. That doesn't make me right, because to be honest with you, if I was not me and I was listening to my story, I probably think it was mostly full of crap anyway.
I agree. I say the same thing. if we hadn't had the experiences, we'd think that, you know, that it's all crazy stuff too. It's our experiences that have changed us.
So who knows what's the truth or not? That's how I want to end this. What is the real truth and how close to will we ever get to it? I don't know. But yeah, we'll keep in touch, Grant. And if you here's my thing with you. If there's something about me that comes up, don't be afraid to ask. Yep. I'll tell you the truth.
Yep. Okay, John, I take you up on that. And thank you very much for doing the interview. And thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Nice to meet you, John.
Yeah, thanks. Good talking to you too. Take care, guys. Bye.